KALW.
One of the concepts I learned, sifr, which is zero, which came from some ancient Arab mathematicians, which probably came from Africa before that.
A local artist is inspired by the symbolism of zero and her concerns about oppressed people.
And my location in it, like, where do I fit in all this? And art and music has always been this place to ask those questions and search for answers.
Singer Naima Shelhoub talks about her new album and what she learned from men in the Lebanese prison. Then, what happens when you sing a song with toxic lyrics on repeat for 3 days straight?
Almost like you open up the door of your mind and invite this other thing in that then takes over.
That's coming up. I'm Hanat Baba, and this is Cross Currents. The world was shocked when on August 4th, an explosion ripped through the city of Beirut, Lebanon, killing at least 200 people and injuring 6,000 others. Lebanese Americans in the U.S. launched disaster relief fundraisers. One of them is Naima Shelhoub. The Oakland-based musician released her latest album on Friday with a fundraiser on Facebook. Naima sings in both Arabic and English. Her sound crosses regional and cultural borders, but also shows how music has the power to bring people together. Her album is called Sifr, which is Arabic for zero, and she speaks with KALW's Janae Darden about the symbolism behind the number and her musical roots.
I grew up, you know, first generation Arabs. My parents were actually born in Sierra Leone, grew up in Lebanon, and came here during the civil war in Lebanon. So essentially came here as refugees. And I learned about my culture and homelands through the ways my family was so expressive. And so it wasn't music in this, music is one thing, but music associated with freedom and freedom of expression, you know? And so found a love for it through that.
And I was going to ask you, with your parents being refugees and then just that story you just shared, how does that impact you as an artist?
There weren't a lot of people who looked like me that I grew up with. And so I remember as a young person constantly searching, I think, for validation of others, quite frankly. And I've always had a sensitivity to injustice and oppression and my location in it. Like, where do I fit in all this? And art and music has always been this place to ask those questions and search for answers. But really, Black American music, let's talk about it. I mean, I can't be a singer and be in the U.S. without being indebted, honestly, to Black American traditions of music like the blues. I think about Arabic music and musicality like that. It always felt right for me to sing the blues, not in a way, an appropriation way, but like the tonality. And I think being an Arab American, knowing that that's not my tradition, but I always feel a sense of solidarity in singing the blues.
I open my eyes a little too fast, starting to forget the dream that sung me here. Get out of bed looking for a paper trail of reflections that remind me of who I am.
I want to talk about Cypher.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, everything is symbolic on that album. So let's start with the title, Cypher, and I know that means a lot to you.
Yes, thank you. Sifr, cipher. So sifr is actually zero in Arabic. And I was doing some rabbit hole researching when I was in Lebanon. And I found out, the very Afro roots, Arab roots of certain mathematical concepts, right? And one of the concepts I learned, sifr, which is zero, which came from some, ancient Arab mathematicians, which probably came from Africa before that. So learning about sifr, and also to me with sort of my, I'd call it Christian mystical pre-colonial tradition in this concept of grace, and grace being this zero and like containing everything and nothing. And then understanding 1 through 9 is contained in the zero, and thinking about cycles of life, like even a circle, right? And so I was like, this is going to be the theme of my album.
Each song has a number in the title. Some of the songs, I mean, they're all beautiful. Some of the songs I was interested in is Three, which is Loved, described as a lullaby, and it does feel like a lullaby. What inspired that song, and why Three? Why is it Three?
I had written this chorus to a song a few years prior, but I knew that I wanted that song to be on the album. There was something about buildings will stand and then they'll fall, but how we loved at the end of it all. And so in terms of how I picked it for Three, I was just thinking about the frequency of three, and three being, a completion. It could be resurrection. It could be Trinity. It could be a pyramid. It could be so many things. And for me, it was like, man, three just feels like love. And I feel really proud of the lyrics I ended up writing, which I feel like are very relevant for today.
Buildings will stand and then they'll fall, but how have we loved at the end of it all? Buildings will stand and then they'll fall, but how have we loved at the end of it all?
Number four, Prison Blues.
Yes.
And I was listening to it and I said, she is singing Arabic over like Mississippi beats, Mississippi blues beats. And I wanted to know the story behind that, because I know some of the lyrics came from you visiting a men's prison in Lebanon.
Yeah. So in 2017, I did a mini tour in Lebanon, and I also wanted to connect with local folks, local organizations doing work that I could also uplift through this experience. And there's a woman, Zainab Zakash, who's a very well-known Lebanese actress, but also started this organization called Catharsis, which does theater with incarcerated people in Lebanon, and started this project of Catharsis in Rumia Prison. Rumia Prison is one of the most notorious prisons in the region. Anyway, I had the opportunity to do like a 2-3 hour workshop there with her. We sat around in a circle. It was around 50, 60 men. And we just talked about music. Why is it important to you? I had to help my Arabic isn't great, so I had to get some help with translations. And so I was talking about, Black American history of the blues and the sort of evolution of that. And then now my ability to hear the music and sort of learn from it and learn from history through the blues. And yet what that means in solidarity and what that means within a context of any prison around the world. And it's like struggle knows struggle, resilience knows resilience, spirit knows spirit. And so they started getting poster board and coming up with Arabic lyrics, and they decided to write a blues to the prison doors themselves. So you'll hear in the song this this motif of Beb ya Beb. Beb in Arabic means a door or gate. And so the blues is written to the door of the prison. And bi Rumia sab yiftah al bab. In Rumia, it's hard, open the door. And so they came up with the lyrics. I kind of helped with the melody, and we made this song together, and I just had to have it on the record. I got their permission because it's their lyrics, and they're like, no, please, And I want people to also think about what Black and Arab solidarity can mean. It opens doors.
That was singer Naima Shalhoub speaking with KELW's Janae Darden. Naima's album Sifr is out now. You can find a link at kelw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Our next story just won an award from the Public Media Journalists Association for its use of sound. In it, we meet Jules Indelicato, who took part in an art project called Romantic Songs of the Patriarchy. Let's let Jules take it from here.
It was a 3-day long durational performance art piece. It took 30 incredibly talented women and non-binary people. They stationed them with guitars throughout the women's building. And for 8 hours a day, we played songs on repeat that were popular, very well-received songs about love, about loving women, but with incredibly toxic lyrics. Can't you see?
You belong to me. He followed me down the street like I knew he would, because a guy is a guy wherever he may be.
Comes home to you, I'm warning you.
Well, I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than to be with another man.
Don't deny your man's desire. You'd be a fool to stop this time.
Then she'll carelessly cut you and laugh while you're bleeding.
He hit me, and it felt like a kiss.
The point of the piece was, as you would listen to these songs that you grew up with, that you really hold dear to yourself and others, you realize just how deeply the subliminal messages of toxicity and violence are woven into our culture. We were each given songs. The songs were not our choice. I got Under My Thumb by the Rolling Stones.
Under my thumb, the girl who once had me down.
My whole demeanor when performing this song was very full of myself and suave and proud that I had tamed this wild beast. The difference in the clothes she wears, it's down to me. The change has come. She's under my thumb. There I was, the first day. First few repetitions.
Under my thumb.
Oh man, my fingers are gonna get tired. Do I have to pee?
Under
my thumb. A couple
more.
A couple after that.
Under my thumb.
I feel my feet firmly on the floor. A couple more.
Had me down.
I feel my voice getting stronger.
The girl who wants.
A couple more. I'm meditating on one tiny shudder.
Yes, it is.
One small inflection that I make at the end of one verse. A couple more after that, and your mind goes completely blank. Almost like you open up the door of your mind and invite this other thing in that then takes over. And you are the art, and you are this song singing out of your body. And at the end of the song, there's this gigantic release that becomes greater and greater with every repetition. and then a breath, and you start again. You stop seeing it in the like in the lens of time, and it becomes more of a sculpture or a painting. In the first minute, people would come in, they'd realize what song I'm singing, and excitement would come over their face, like, oh, honey, she's doing the Rolling Stones. Listen. And by the end of the first chorus, I'd see the smile kind of leave, and I'd see them start to fidget, and I'd see their eyes kind of searching to lock onto mine. By the end of the song, many people would just break down. And then afterwards, I would see these people walk away with almost a look of embarrassment or shame on their faces, just this bashful nod of acknowledgement. There was this one very emotional turn where I had really, really gotten into it and really started to feel like I was that person in the song, that toxic, powerful, snide man with no shame. And I'm singing my heart out, very subdued, but very intense. And I look up, and this woman is crouched in the corner, clutching her heart and clutching her mouth with her other hands and just shaking her head and sobbing. And I look up with a sneer and a smile on my face right as I say, she's under my thumb. And at that moment, my throat caught up in my chest. And my eyes started welling up, and I look at her, and she looks at me, and I realize that some of this is kind of seeping into my body. Some of this pride in some of this, like, snarky toxicity. I just felt so gross. And I look at her on the ground, and I see how much she's going through. And then I look up and I realize that there's a little girl in the room, and she's watching this whole interaction, and she's been there for the whole song. I don't see her parents around anywhere. And then I think about her, and I think about all of the songs that she's heard today.
Girl, you'll be your woman.
And how she's growing up being shaped by this same stuff. And it kind of just made me really overwhelmed at how deeply hurt we are by pop culture.
Try to domesticate you, but you're an animal. Baby, it's in your nature.
And the way that they try to define us and shape us. And so I wanted to stand up right there and just leave. But I sat back down and I took a breath and I started the song again and again. And again, the whole while just thinking about how this is necessary, how this magnifying glass that we're casting on pop culture right now is so necessary in these times.
Under my thumb, the girl who once had me down. Under my thumb, the girl
who once pushed me around. It's down to me, yes it is. The difference in the clothes she wears down to me. Change has come, she's under my.
That was Jules and Delicato performing the Rolling Stones' Under My Thumb. The song was part of an art project Jules took part in at the Women's Building in San Francisco called Romantic Songs of the Patriarchy. Magnolia McKay produced that story with sound designer Gabe Graben.
You don't know me. I'm not just one of your many toys. You don't know me.
Tune in Monday at 5. We'll hear how Phaeton Brown is making sure BART is safe for employees and writers during the pandemic.
Safety is always number one. Yeah, of course, for COVID, has elevated to its highest level.
A new installment from our series on essential workers, Monday at 5 on Cross Currents. Today's Cross Currents team includes Christopher Agusa, Vala Narisibar, Imran Ali Malik, True Gwynn, Marissa Ortega Welch, and Babette Thomas. Our engineers are James Rollins and Gabe Graben. Production manager is Shirin Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet as interpreted by Dawood Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.